bit of stuff here myself. But I'm going to open up with Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43 is what I want to read. Now this is Peter's message to Cornelius. That's what I'm calling this. This is Peter's message to Cornelius, and this is where Peter starts. Verse 34, Acts chapter 10. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Well, okay, I got to read 44. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." Now, before I get started, I'm going to quote to you a sign. It is better to be slapped by the truth than kissed by a lie. I like that. Now, since I said it, I'm not really planning on slapping anybody today. But some people might take it that way. That's the way it might feel. When you first run into the truth of God, it might feel like somebody slapped you. And the lie feels like a kiss. It's familiar. It's what you want. And I'm going to tell you something. That was not on a church. That was on a veterinarian right above Rainy Forest. Wow. Yeah. I like that sign. Anyway, but I do want to speak the truth. That's why we're here. And I want to speak today from and about Peter's message to Cornelius. We talk about the Jews and the Gentiles in the church, his body, equal, the same, one new man, one creature. But this is the first message that we have in the Scriptures. And from the testimony about this message later, this is the first time that this gospel was preached to Gentiles in particular. Now, some Gentiles heard it possibly before, but this was going to a Gentile's house and preaching to this Gentile, and Peter didn't, Peter resisted to start with, but we'll get into that. But I do want to tell you something you already know, I hope. This is the same message that Peter preached to the Jews. It's the same message that I'm going to try and preach to you today. And the same message that Walter's going to try and preach to you today. And I'll give you a prophecy, even though I'm not a prophet. It's going to be the same message that's preached to the last Gentile that believes when the fullness of the Gentile comes in. And that's because there is only one message. This is a message of the work of God, and it's the message of the work of God in the child of God in bringing about the adoption of son. The adoption of a son to God. And it starts off, then Peter opened his mouth and said. That's what we're here for today. That's what we're here for today. This is why Peter was here. At Cornelius' house. Cornelius and his house were there, and it says in the verse before I read it, verse 33, it says, immediately, this is Cornelius speaking, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. It was good for Peter to be there. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. They were there for the same reason we're to be here. To hear the word of God. Okay. That's all right. Peter was here to speak. He wasn't here to be an example. He wasn't here. Now, he may have been. An ensample. Not an example. But he wasn't there to be an example. He wasn't there necessarily to be an ensample. He was there to speak. That's why Cornelius asked him to come. Cornelius was told to. Peter was here to speak, so guess what? He spoke. That's why Christ sent him. That's why Peter came. He was sent to speak to these people at this time, in this place, right here. And right now, as it's written down, words are important. I was thinking about it while Paul Mahan was preaching last Saturday, when he spoke about that. And he talked about that worm farm he had. And he says, you know, I can't go down there with those worms and talk to them. But Christ condescended. He came down. And see, people make a great, oh, he came as a babe in a manger. Yes, he did. He did. But they don't talk about the great, I don't know the exact words to put it. It is a coming down. He was above, but he came down and dwelt among us. But he wasn't here just for our example or for our ensample. He spoke to the worms that were here. And he used words the worms could understand. And he gave the worms the understanding. Words are important. We have his words recorded in this book. We have these apostles' words that were telling us of what Christ's words were and what he said. And what the Old Testament prophets wrote. And all we have to relay them is words. I can't be thankful I can't send my thoughts out. I'm thankful I can't send my thoughts out. But we have been given this voice to speak, these words to repeat and to expound upon. He came and spoke to us worms. And he's speaking to us worms now. What he starts off with here, and I find this incredibly ironic. Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth. Here's the truth. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Walter, I believe that is one of the masterpieces of understatement right there. That's what Peter said. That's all he said here to Cornelius that we hear in this message. But the Holy Spirit had to show Peter a vision. He was hungry and he fell into a trance. He was going to get something to eat. And he had this vision. Not once, not twice, but three times it was told to him. It was shown to him. A big thing came down and there were all manners of unclean beasts. And he said, rise, slay and eat. And Peter said, no, not so, Lord. For nothing unclean or common has ever passed my lips. And the voice said, call that, don't call that which God has cleansed uncommon. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. If God's cleansed it, guess what? It's clean. That's the message. If God's cleansed it, it's clean. And he said it to him three times. And I love this. In verse 15 it says, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Verse 16, this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up into heaven. Now, verse 17, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision would mean. He still didn't know. He's seen it three times. What's the value of repetition? We need repetition. You know, I'm lucky if I can remember somebody's name the third or fourth time after I meet them. We need repetition. And God knows what we need. We have only the same message. We only have this one message. Christ is all. That's the only message we have. But here, the Holy Spirit showed Peter a vision and then supplied him with three times. And the Spirit was clear, what God has cleansed, call that not common. And still, after it was over, Peter wasn't sure what it meant. He got the message, but he wasn't sure what it meant. Then someone showed up at his door, right then. What a coincidence. It's amazing how this stuff just seems to work out, Mason. No, it's called the purpose, plan, providence, and this, the direct command of God from both parties. From Cornelius, and to Peter. We'll see that here in a little bit. The Spirit told Peter, arise and go down and go with them. That's what that vision meant. And Peter sums it up by saying, of a truth, I perceive. It took a lot of doing, but he perceived it. That God is not a respecter of persons. Now, this is talking about directly Jew and Gentile. And if you want to branch it out from the other epistles that are in here, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, rich and poor, barbarian or Scythian, God is not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. We are. That's our problem. But God is not. And never has been. He has his people and not his people. That's his. He is not a respecter of your person. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter where you were born, what color you are, what language you speak. America is not God's nation. Okay? I want to say that clear and plain. My wife has been reading this history book. And if only half of that stuff in this history book is true, this ain't a Christian nation. It never was. It's a nation of depravity, of greed, yeah, of lust, yeah, of whatever. Yeah. Now, they cloak a lot of things in religion. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are cloaked in religion. A lot of things are hidden. But like I said, if all that thing's true, I'm ashamed to be an American some days. Because I've seen the way we act on television. And they want to say this is a Christian nation. I've been listening to Lloyd Jones talk about that, about England as a Christian nation. No, it's not. There is no such thing as a Christian nation on this world. There is the church. His people and not his people. And it doesn't matter what nation you belong to. If you're his people, you're in the church. And you're my brother, you're my sister. Anyhow. But in every nation, that's what Peter says, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Peter saying in every nation means, what does that mean? Not just Israel. That's what it means to Peter. Not just a Jew, another, a Gentile, whoever. It doesn't matter. In every nation, he that feareth, that is present tense, he that fears him. What's the beginning of knowledge? Fear of the Lord. What's the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. What is the instruction of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. Psalms 25 and verse 14 put it this way, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Psalms 34 and verse 7 put it this way, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And delivereth them. Can I say this? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of deliverance. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of it all. That's what Peter said. He that feareth him, but then he added this, and. Not but, it's and. That worketh righteousness. Again, present tense. He that works righteousness. Present tense. You mean y'all believe in works? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I don't believe in works for salvation. I don't believe in works for regeneration, for conversion. I believe in works because of regeneration. I believe in works because of conversion. I believe in works because of salvation. We are His workmanship created unto good works. And it was before ordained that we should walk in them. But we are His work unto good works. Our works are always the result of His work. That's the order. Don't get the cart before the horse. His work always comes first. And our works come. And then this last part of this statement, he that fears, in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness, is accepted with Him. Also, present tense. Is accepted. You is accepted. And this is not a noun. This is another one of these adjectives which modifies a noun. And this is actually an adjective that is modifying you. With him, you are acceptable. You are accepted. With him. It's not that you shall be acceptable. It's not that you will be, you could be, or even you should be. It says that he is acceptable. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable. We're not fearing him and working righteousness in order to be acceptable. That's not what Peter's saying. He's saying that we are acceptable with him. Because if we fear Him, and if we work righteousness, it's because of His work already in us. Now, everything we have is in Christ, but I do like what he said, what Peter, the way he phrased this here, he is talking about and what he's saying. He says, we are accepted with Christ, because that's also true. Our acceptance is in Christ, but our acceptance is also with Christ. God accepts us. The Father accepts us because Christ brought us to Him. 1 Peter 3 and 18 put it this way. Peter again. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that, for this reason, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. There's a real sense we were brought to God when Christ was resurrected.
Right.
Believers are in Christ, and believers were brought to God with Christ. With Him. There is so much that we have in Him. However, we must not forget what we have been given with Him. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him. Through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Now, we are told, well, let me go ahead and read it, because it's right here. This is Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. But then it says, verse 6, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I understand he's going into where he's talking about faith. But understand this, Christ was not raised up when I believed. He was raised up 2,000 years ago. And I was raised with Him. And if you're in Him, you were raised with Him. There is things that go on, that went on with Him, and now we are in Him if we believe. He brings us in to Himself. But He brought us to God when He was raised. And we are acceptable in Him, and we are acceptable with Him. God hath raised us up together when Christ arose from the dead. That was 2,000 years ago. And that raising up then will be brought to fruition, to completion in time. It's going to be made known here. And I do want to be clear on this point. There must be both fear Him and work righteousness. And then I want to look now, because we'll see this in that fellow named Cornelius in the first verse. Actually, the first four verses. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. Now, Luke wrote the book of Acts. He's writing down what Peter said, but he's also writing this part when he's introducing Cornelius to us. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And the man had never heard a preacher yet. That's the way it is. You can take it any way you want. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. No, I'm not sorry. I glory in that. Because that's the work of God. An angel just doesn't appear to somebody with a message from God. And then good things happen. I'm not going to talk about Balaam. Walter and I talked about that on the phone. Balaam heard from God in the Old Testament. It didn't end up well for Balaam. It does for Cornelius. That's why we've got the rest of this chapter. But you understand, here is a man who feared God, and he gave alms to people. He prayed to God always. What do we have here? One that fears Him, and one that works righteousness. That's what we got. That's what Luke wrote. That's what's recorded here. And what did Peter say? Of a truth, I perceive that God's no respecter, and in every nation he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted. Before Peter got there, Cornelius qualified. Now, why did Cornelius qualify? Because God qualified him. God had given Cornelius life before this. Now, what works are done? Fearing him is not any. There's no doubt. You have to fear the one who's up there. You have to fear the one on the throne. You have to fear the true God. But this is the thing. Regeneration changes you. It does. And you will fear him. And you will work righteousness. Now, Cornelius was here. Cornelius did what he did with the light he had. And this is what we do. And this is what I have done. And I've said this before, but I wanted to put it in here because I think this is appropriate. Sometimes after regeneration, you figure this out later. Okay? You do things and you're not exactly sure why. And I left the Catholic Church because I had to. God had convicted me of that in my heart. And I don't know that I was converted at that time. I'm sure I wasn't. But I was, I believe, regenerated. And I may not have knew exactly what was right, but at that place and that time, I knew that was wrong and I wasn't supposed to be there and I didn't need to be there. Well, I was supposed to be there because I was there. And I heard that and I left. And I didn't look back. Because that was the wrong place for me. And believe me, I'm not boasting, but that was a work of righteousness. Walking out of that place. You do with the light God's given you. And regeneration does make a difference. But there's more. There's more. Because this message, there was more to it from this angel to Cornelius. But I do want to say this. I'll go out on a limb. Don't call Cornelius common or unclean. That's just the way it is. You know? Cornelius was accepted with him because Cornelius was regenerated. And Cornelius was to hear a preacher. He was to hear the gospel.
Yes.
That's clear. Cornelius sent from Peter by the instruction of God for what? To hear words from thee. That's what they told him when they showed up. Behold, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get down. This is the Spirit speaking to Peter. And go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down and said, what do you want? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel, what? To send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. God just doesn't leave someone regenerate and unconverted. It doesn't happen. Now, there is a time scale here. I'm sorry if people have a problem with that. They do. Okay? And Walter and I have talked about this before, and I've talked about it with Earl when he was alive. You hear people give their testimony. And their testimony is a testimony of the separation between regeneration and conversion. But they won't admit to it. It's funny. It's funny. I mean, I understand. And I'm going to tell you, I know there are preachers who have preached on Cornelius, but they won't say anything about this. And some good preaching, because Christ is preached. What Peter said is true. But we've got this whole story for a reason. This whole account is here. And there is a separation in time. Now, it may not always be there. I'm not saying it always is. I know there was in my case. I believe there was in Walter's because I experienced a good bit of it. And we've talked about it since then. And I've talked with Earl and I've talked with others who do understand this. What comes first, life or faith? Life comes first. Life always comes first. But if life comes, faith will also come. God told Cornelius to send for Peter so he could hear it. And Peter came, and Cornelius said, "Hey, we're here, present before God to hear you speak to us about God." Regeneration changes you. You want to hear. Cornelius wanted to hear about the things of God. He wanted to hear. Because regeneration will change you want to. Peter got there and Cornelius said, we're present to hear all things that are commanded thee of God, because Cornelius desired to hear the preaching of the Lord. Because regeneration will change your desire. My wife and I were on the way up here, we were listening to Lloyd Jones. And he said something about having a good eye or seeing your Christianity. He's talking about seeing that you're a believer, knowing that you're a believer. And Debbie made the comment, said that my eye's too sinful sometimes to behold my Christianity. And I said, yeah, but you're on your way to church and happy to go there to hear him preached. And she said, yeah. I said, yeah. You're different. There are people who wouldn't come here, Walter, for all the tea in China. I don't know if that's a racial expression or not. For all the money in the bank. You can't pay. Well, you probably could pay people to be here, but I don't want to. We don't have the money. They don't want to be here. They don't want to hear him preach. But Cornelius did, because of what God had done to him beforehand. And then Cornelius did hear. Peter came, God sent him, and Peter preached. You got to have both. There's no regeneration without conversion. There's no conversion without regeneration. And like I said, this is the same message preached here that Peter preached to the Jews that we're preaching to you now. And to some, it's the savor of life unto life. And to some, it's the savor of death unto death. And I can't make any ground good. Cornelius was good ground before Peter ever got there. He was ready to be sowed. He was looking for the seed to be sown. He asked for the seed to be sown, and God sent him seed that was sown. This shows the results of election, which is unto salvation. Both the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. The Spirit gives life, and we believe through the working of His mighty power. Regeneration changes the elect, but conversion always comes to the regenerated through His Word. It's not that he has to use his word. That's just the way he's chose to do it. Some days I wish he had chosen something else, so I wouldn't have to do this. Other days I enjoy doing this. Or enjoy it before, I worry about it the whole time before I get here. But sometimes I actually do enjoy doing this. Because I like speaking about him. And I like the fact that you want to hear about him. And I like listening to Walter talk about it. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. These are more the words of Peter. Because Peter, after all this, Peter still had to preach. After regeneration and his getting there, Peter still had to preach. And there is only the word which God sent unto the children of Israel. It's the same word that we've got today. He is Lord of all. He is our peace. He made peace, and He is our peace. Verse 4, he says, Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. I gotta hurry. Paul Mahan said it a week ago, them apostles couldn't get away from the resurrection. He's right, and neither can we, because everything we have came with that resurrection. Everything we had. We were raised with Him and seated with Him in the heavenlies. Why? Because of that resurrection. Why are we regenerated? Why are we given life? Why do we hear the gospel? Why do we believe the gospel? Because He arose from the dead and was accepted by the Father. Him that God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. And then verse 41, not to all people. Not to all people. But unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. Totally, completely, and bodily resurrection. That's the apostolic doctrine. We ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. That's kind of tough to do if it's a spiritual resurrection, Walter. It's impossible. He rose from the dead, but He only showed Himself to who He chose before. How simple is that? How plain is that? And how much ignored, neglected, and lied about is that in this world? Verse 42, and He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. We have been commanded to preach. I said this morning on the radio. Christ never asked anybody to do anything. He told us what to do. He told Peter what to do. He told Cornelius what to do. He tells you what to do. And guess what? You do it. It is He that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that goes for all of it. And whom are we to preach? Him. And those that fear Him and work righteousness, believe Him. And to Him give all the prophets witness that through His name that whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins. All the prophets witness. The Bible is Christ's book. He's the author and He's the subject. One message. But then verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. While Peter spoke. He didn't even get to finish his message. The Holy Ghost fell upon them which heard. All them, but which heard. Stephen gave out that warning. That description of those people that stoned Him. That they were uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Ghost. If you're in that condition, you will always resist the Holy Ghost. If you're not in that condition, if you hear, you'll believe. The savor of life unto life for some. The savor of death unto death. The same message was preached unto them as it was unto us, but they didn't receive it. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. God had not worked a work upon them at that time. It takes the work of God to hear Him. It takes the work of God to believe Him. Christ will bring in everyone that is accepted with Him. Everyone that was raised with Him. How can you believe if you've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? Peter was sent. Peter preached. They heard. And the Holy Ghost fell upon them. They believed. And after ye have believed, ye are sealed with the Spirit. I mean, we've spoken of this before, and I've been planning. This is one of the things that's been in the back of my mind forever. Because I love this account of Cornelius. This is the truth of God about how God saves His people. This is what God did for me. I recognize that here. Now, I didn't have an angel talk to me. I didn't have Peter sit to me. But the whole principle is the same. The salvation is the same. He works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Regeneration and conversion. The life to the child of God and the belief of the truth. It's quite clear that the Lord hears the prayers of one who feared Him and worked righteousness. It says that He did. And this shows clearly that Cornelius was, before Peter ever got there, or ever even heard of Cornelius, that Cornelius was not just a natural man at that time. He wasn't. That's clear. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, if you don't, you won't. And have a nice day. I can't help it. But then when Peter preached, because Peter was sent specifically to that house at that time and to preach these words, Cornelius heard and believed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way that Christ brings us to the Father in time. This is that way. This is His way, His chosen way. And both happen to the elect. Regeneration and conversion. Life and hearing the gospel. And believing the gospel. Because this is God's ordained way for us in this world. Regeneration changes the elect. And conversion comes to the regenerated. I heard Lord Jones say something good this morning, Walter, before we left. And I'd never thought about it. I don't know that I ever said it this way, but I don't know that I can ever say it a different way now. If you're on the narrow way, you ain't on the broad way. If you're on the broad way, you ain't on the narrow way. Now, he didn't use ain't. Because he's English. But I did. Because I'm adopted West Virginia. My mom's from here. I can claim it. You're either on the broad way or the narrow way. And the narrow way is the only one that counts. And if you're on the narrow way, it is a way. It's not a destination. It's not a rest stop. It's a way. You're going to go that way. If you're in that narrow way, if you pass through that straight gate. Narrow is that way, but it is a way and you're going. And God will see to it you get exactly where you want, where you are supposed to be. Because He's purposed it and planned it from the beginning of the world. And He is executing His purpose and His plan, even as we speak. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this place and this time. You alone have the power to save men. You alone are willing to save men. Thank You for everything You've done for us, to us, in us, and with us. In Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.